Good evening, friends, and welcome once again to another edition of Answer the Call. This is Brother James, and I'm honored and grateful to be here tonight with all of you who have set this as a time apart to listen to and study God's love letter to mankind, the Holy Bible. No doubt faithful listeners may recall we've largely been using our time together to go through the Epistle of James, but tonight we're going to be continuing last week's study I entitled A Time for Change. Look with me once again, if you would, at our foundational scripture found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, 1 through 8, as it is written. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. For review, last time we were together, we looked at the first two points of the study of things to understand if we desire true transformation in our walk in our lives. The first being that God exists outside of time. He is the author of all creation. He occupies a place in which all of creation is laid open to him, like a scroll. But not only is he outside of our concept of time, he is omnipresent, omnipotent, and intimately engaged with all aspects of his creation. We see a hint of this over in Revelation chapter 1, verses 8, where it is written, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. He states here that he occupies both the beginning and the ending, and indeed we understand that he is also present in every moment in between. Friends, God is never far away. Our second point is that our perception of time is in our mind, or put more simply and accurately perhaps, that our perception of time is relative to our experience of time. Consider the following example. At 10 years old, a year represents 10% of your life, but if you should live to see 100, 1 year will only represent 1% of your life. The point or application of the statement is to help us realize that as we age, it can become more easy to fall victim to procrastination. The time seems like it transpires more quickly as we age, and if we take not care, we can squander our present while either obsessing over the past or preparing for the future. I'm reminded of the words of our Lord found over in Matthew 6, looking at verses 30 through 34. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or with whereall shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We must be present in the present and focused on the path God has laid before us. We must understand that as we age, we perceive time as being more fleeting, and if we fail to properly utilize our time, we may find ourselves saddled with regret at the impact we could have had, but didn't, because we were too enamored with frivolous or trivial things, or we sought comfort rather than growth. The world is full of could-have-beens and quite a few never were's. We must take care that we live our lives to the fullest, focused not on those things which are passing away, rather focused on eternity and those things which are to come. Amen. Which brings us to our third point. We must go through times, good and bad, to be refined. As I alluded to last broadcast, God knows we're not going to get it perfect. And he has gone ahead and crafted our lives in such a way that hardship, trials, tests, and struggles, while often the fruit of our disobedience, have within them the seeds to produce fruits worthy of repentance. but only if we work to redeem the days that we have. The Apostle Peter addressed this over in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it is written in verses 6 and 7, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Trials, temptations, and troubles invite us to seek a closer intimacy to God, to understand that while the purification process can be difficult and perhaps painful, such times are opportunities for the believer to grow closer to God and demonstrate by their testimony a willingness to bless God even in the midst of the storm. That the lessons of faith, humility, and hope may grow us into a more perfect faith, trusting in God as both the author and finisher of said faith, as Paul writes over in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." God has a plan, and nothing, and I mean nothing, is outside his dominion. He desires to grow you in faith and your walk, but can only take you as far as you are willing to go. Amen. Our fourth point tonight is that God has written the story, and we can be sure that it all works out fine. We must never forget that what the Lord himself reminded us with his revelation to John in that first chapter, verse 8. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." God does not merely exist in one time frame, but across and in truth outside of our understanding of time. He is the Alpha and the Omega, as well as everything in between. Nothing is so small that his hand is not in it, nor bigger, nor greater than the plan he has set in motion from the foundation of the world. Part of faith is believing God, trusting his plan, and seeking and applying his wisdom to your decisions and choices, to invite him to create within you a more perfect faith and to cast down the idols and strongholds that exist within us, resisting his will. In Revelation, he gave us a clear message that the story has been written. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall not return void. There is no wishful thinking. The day of the Lord shall not be denied nor delayed, but shall come to pass in the perfect time God has established. He has already won. We have free will, but God already knows the score. What then should man do is the question that this missive seeks to answer, in my opinion, and I believe the resounding answer to be, "Seek ye first after the kingdom of heaven. Lay ye not up treasures for yourself where rust doth corrupt and moths do steal. Rather build up those heavenly treasures which are promised to them that persevere, to them that do not falter, to them that overcome. Be present, awaken each day." The truth is, beloved, God is looking for you to decide whether the story of your life be one of victory or one of defeat. And as much as God desires to bestow blessings in your life, he requires your cooperation to do so. He requires your obedience. Friends, let me ask you the following question. When we go to the Lord in prayer, are we asking only after those temporal earthly things? Or are we inquiring after those heavenly spiritual things? Friends, let me share that the more you inquire after those heavenly spiritual things, the more you might understand why it is you are experiencing those temporal earthly struggles, and the easier it becomes to keep your eyes upon him in the midst of the storm. Understand that the Lord goes before us each and every day. He sets our path and causes the rain to fall upon the just and unjust alike. Where the unjust curses the rain for its inconvenience to his plans, the just considers how much the rain is a blessing for those who thirst, for the parched ground, for the barren field. In the same way, you determine whether your testimony, when in times of challenge, be a refreshing balm or a selfish curse to those who bear witness to those trials. We cannot afford to waste our time being fair-weather Christians or fair-weather friends with the Lord. Understand that even in our darkest hour, our dimmest night, he is with us. And indeed, any who would recognize their wicked condition and call out to him, asking for his mercy, asking for his forgiveness, and asking for his grace. Regardless of where you stand right now, friends, whether you be on top of the mountains in your life or in the valley of despair, He is there also, with His comfort, with His mercy, with His peace. Friends, nothing can strip that from you if you do not relinquish it yourself. As we wind up this broadcast, I wish to leave you with this selection from God's Word. Join with me quickly over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17. Wherefore He saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Beloved, we are called to wakefulness. We are called to separate and come out from among the dead, to be transformed from the foolishness of man, to instead bear the wisdom found in God's holy word. To do this, friends, we must be willing to be shaped and molded by that wisdom, to cast away our pride and accept humility in return. We must, if we truly wish to see God's hand at work in ourselves and our lives, come into agreement that it is indeed time for a change, and we must understand that God is not bound nor limited in a temporal sense, but is through all, over all, and yet outside of all. And yet He is not ignorant nor unaware of His creation. Rather, His eye is on the sparrow, and God is always on His throne. Well, I see our time tonight has almost elapsed. So in closing, I ask, friends, are you tired of being stuck in a rut? Are there strongholds in your life that you have fortified in defiance of God's word? Are you in agreement that you are ready? That it is indeed time for a change? If so, and you feel the Lord calling to you to make some changes, tonight, friends, would you be willing to answer that call?